Welcome home, neighbors. This is Jerome from Colorado Springs and owner at the Copper Creek Villas. You're listening to my DVC Point.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 7. This is part 2 of a 2-part conversation of DVC members' resort review of the Copper Creek Cabins and Villas. Let's jump right back into the conversation where we left off in episode 6. Moving on to the restaurants here. We have the entire gamut of restaurants. Terry, why don't you tell us about the signature restaurant there? I know that that's one of your favorites.
It is my favorites, and there's a lot of rumors around what's its future. So hopefully you air this episode early on in your journey of your new show, Chad, because it's not looking good for the future of Artist Point. There are no reservations after a certain date this fall. I don't remember the date. I want to say it's in November. But it's going down for a significant refurb and is rumored to change to something else. And so it's definitely one of the easiest to get in signature restaurants. It's always peaceful. It's always quiet. I had I'm actually just as we're recording this, I'm 2 weeks from our 20th anniversary. It's the first Disney resort we ate at our honeymoon. I mean, restaurant we ate at our honeymoon. And this was back, 20 years ago. So pre-dining plan. The dining plan back then was you paid like $75 a day or some, I don't remember the number. And then they gave you like $150 a day in actual money. So they basically gave you some kind of Disney dollar exchange. I don't remember exactly how it worked. So we ended up there and they went out of their way to like celebrate us and their famous cobbler. And it came on a cutting board with all kinds of fruits that are featured in this with a sorbet. And the highlights on the menu there are definitely the cedar plank salmon and the bison strip steak is what it used to be. And now it's kind of a 3-ounce piece of bison. And they no longer serve the salmon on a cedar plank because it's deemed a fire hazard.
Oh, wow. Because I had that salmon and I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I went there with a mutual friend of ours named Ian and he got the filet and his filet just blew my salmon away. And I think the server was saying that they were the only signature restaurant that did an extra ounce or two cut on the filet for the same price as the other signatures. I think that was their big selling point.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sad now, guys. I'm sad now because we missed out on Artist Point. We experienced Whispering Canyon and Geyser Point, and the what's the counter service quick service over there?
Roaring Fork,
by the pool. Yeah, Roaring Fork. We experienced all three of those, but not Artist Point. So,
yeah, and I think as far as actual food quality, I think it's been one of the best restaurants on property. And if you've been a Disney fan for a long time, as we've been members for 11 years and been coming, obviously since our honeymoon. You've definitely seen the evolution of the dining plan and what it's done to Disney dining and the quality of food. And it's been very, 20 years ago, the bison, I'm pretty sure it was Fred Flintstone style. They killed the bison in the backyard and he came out on your plate. I mean, it was like more food than you can eat. And last time I was there was very much like my last trip to Tippins where it was like, wow, is there a meat shortage? Or because to quote the Wendy's lady, where's the beef? And so, it was literally like a 3 or 4 ounce piece of bison filet or something like that. And so
while the sizes and the portions may have decreased, I think the consistency has been fairly stable with Artist Point. Whereas a lot of the other restaurants on property, and I think with the exception of Disney Springs, I've probably been to all of them. I think Artist Point, for the most part, you're never really going to have that meal that's a miss. You know what I mean? The quality, when the filet is my favorite, is always cooked, perfectly. So whereas other restaurants, even Le Cellier, which I like a lot, I've been there and it's been a total miss before. You know, I'll go back because I know it'll, you know, be better the next time probably, right? But Artist Point, that's sad to hear that they may not be continuing. You know, I hope that they replace it with something equally good or better. That's all I have to say. But yeah, it's always been a good spot.
What's the speculation?
October 28th.
I wonder what the speculation is on that.
October 28th is currently the final day you can get ADRs.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a shame.
So we need to start some rumors about what might come in the place of Artist Point.
I would have to assume they'd put another signature experience in there.
Yeah.
You know?
One would think, but I've never been in there where it was more than 50% to capacity.
Never. Never.
Never. I mean, and I've been there during very busy times. You know, obviously, Whispering Canyon, its neighbor, has also had some changes. Normally, what happens at Disney is each hotel normally has a kind of a chef that kind of oversees it. And those guys all kind of roam around. And so anytime you're all those changes you talked about, like at Le Cellier, those changes happen when that guy comes and goes, or that girl comes and goes.
Yeah.
So when that new chef comes in, they always want to put their fingerprints on it. And they've recently learned, like, hey, don't touch the salmon. That salmon's been on there for 25, 30 years. You're not taking that off the menu. But they always try to, like, change the side dishes and the different things.
Whoever the chef was out now, and we level set this, right, Chad? Like, for the listeners, we got the restaurants at Wilderness Lodge, Artist Point, Whispering Canyon Cafe, Roaring Fork.
Yep, and then
Geyser Point.
And Geyser Point.
Right. Yeah, and Geyser Point, and then the quick service. I forgot it again.
Roaring Fork.
Roaring Fork, yeah. Each of those. The one that I was most excited about on our visit was Geyser Point. We enjoyed that, sitting out there near the lake. Terry, you were mentioning about the geyser. You've got it, you're looking straight at the geyser there. And you know, on the hour, it's going to erupt, and you've got a great menu. I had you guys were mentioning the bison fillet. I had the bison burger. Really enjoyed it.
And that restaurant is actually, and a lot of people don't always notice this, is it's almost two restaurants, because if you go to the quick service window there, it's one menu, and then if you're seated. There are some other things that the server can bring you that's not necessarily on that menu.
Yeah, and the unique thing out there is that you're not seated necessarily. They have these kind of they're more like couches, mm-hmm. and a real low table where you're seated at, and it's a very casual type experience. You still have the server and everything, but it's different from that perspective. And then you're in this pavilion. You're under this pavilion, so you're not in an enclosed room. And it's a different experience there that we really enjoyed, because, like I said, you're overlooking Bay Lake. You got the geyser there. You're not too far away from the pool. And it may not be the best in July or August, but we certainly enjoyed it when we were there.
I enjoyed it in July. I enjoyed it in August. I'm just telling you.
I don't know when we were there. I believe it was actually July and of last year when they had first opened. And it was a great experience. And I can't think of another DVC resort that I can compare that kind of pool outdoor experience to, because you're completely undercover. And it is just the very casual, relaxed dining experience. You have the full bar. That's huge. It's just a great place to end the day.
Oh, it is by far, like nothing else comes close to Geyser Point as being my favorite bar on campus, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Would you recommend, Chad, folks that are at the Magic Kingdom, take the boat over? Because we already talked about the great experience that the boat is and the approach of the boat as you get into Wilderness Lodge. So one thing I would maybe recommend if you're wondering, you know, if you've got some hours at Magic Kingdom where you're wanting to get away from there a little bit, you could take the boat over to Wilderness Lodge and you could have lunch over at Geyser Point. That might be a good afternoon.
Yeah. Right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, lunch.
It's a brilliant idea, because the quick service options inside the Magic Kingdom, if you actually like eating food, are kind of dreadful. So
yeah, and the Snickers is everybody's agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Food at MK. Not our favorite.
I was snickering about just looking at food instead of eating food, Terry.
Oh, I mean, it's who doesn't like a Mickey-shaped chicken nugget? It just doesn't necessarily mean you want to eat it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I know the menu at Geyser Point has waffle fries on it, and they were telling me that they were one of two places on property that have waffle fries. If you're a Dole Whip fan, they also serve another product there called a Northwest Berry Whip.
I haven't had that.
It's respectable, but it can't hang with my Dole Whip.
That's a tough one to beat.
Yeah, you know, Dole Whips are kind of up there on the rankings.
And I know Chad well enough to know that I'm positive that he holds some sort of record for the amount of Dole Whip consumed in a period of time for being one of the skinniest people I know. I mean, that man will have a Dole Whip with a side of a Dole Whip, followed by Dole Whip for dessert. So
with a Dole Whip chaser.
This right? is true.
Yes. Now, we also can't forget the Territory Lounge. It's right before you get to Artist Point. You go up the ramp to Artist Point. It's the bar that's there. And that's really nice and hidden. If you want to hide from your children, it's a perfect place to go in, duck in. It's kind of quiet.
Is that the one right there at the entrance?
Now you just blew it, Terry, because my wife is with us. Kind of like hidden there.
Yeah. No. She probably won't be able to find you because it's easy to get lost in the way all the ramps are there.
No, if I have to look for him, I find him at Geyser Point there. That's where he's always hiding out.
Well, you can't beat it. You got the mug refill down there as well. If you're on the dining plan or even if you have an extended stay and you pick up the $18 mug, which is what we did on our last trip because we were there probably 2 weeks. You hit the mug. You've got the mug down there for the free refills. You got the best bar on property. You got really great food. There's a bison burger down there at that bar. Very respectable.
With Tillamook cheddar cheese, which is authentically Northwest.
Very much so. Also at the bar, you've got a really good, and Reagan and I are our oldest, really enjoyed this. It's like a cheddar cheese brisket artichoke dip. You know, like you'd have artichoke dip in a little heated container. They have some kind of a Tillamook cheese or cheddar cheese and brisket in there with some chips to dip it in. That was really good as well. I think the other key point.
I'm leaving and getting on a plane and going to Geyser Point right now. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, if I haven't.
Did you miss it last time, Terry?
No, I've been several times. It's one of those things you have to make an intention even when you're not staying. I think it's a great. It's beautiful in the fall or I call it hoodie season at Disney, you know, at night they bring out the heaters and, you know, the fire's going, it's pretty fantastic. And it's definitely significantly, if you are outside enjoying the pool. Now I know there is some sort of poolside dining option as well that kind of has your normal poolside burger kind of stuff. But I don't know why you'd want.
Yeah, why you'd all want of that's that. There. But I think you brought up a key point at night. It's also one of my favorite places to come in, get a drink, and just sit there at the side of the lake and watch the electric water parade. Mm-hmm. What's one of my favorite, most relaxing things to do there? That bar, that resort, best on property. Win, 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 win.
And they also looks like they've added a few new things. I'm looking at the menu right now. They have a dark coffee roast infused. Dark coffee with chocolate gelato. Hello. They have a crab cake sandwich right now. So, I mean, you know, Geyser Point has me excited for future DVC resorts. That in the future, they're going to be bringing in some the new ones that are coming down the pike. Hopefully kind of some different approaches to quick service dining. Because Disney World is definitely behind the eight ball on that compared to the park on the other coast. The quality of quick service. And so let's hope that continues to improve.
Now, moving on, who here has ate at Whispering Canyon Cafe?
I have. Yeah, I have. It was good. I mean, family style, they allow you to order either select entrees or you could do an all you care to enjoy skillet. And I want to say it runs about $30 or $33 a person for the adults and then, you know, less for kids, of course. And it was a good amount of food. It had salad, ribs, chicken, brisket. It was enjoyable. It was a good experience. Food was, you know, good.
As my friend Will Haynes says, it's good for theme park barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be calling Guy Fieri and be like, hey, this is the best barbecue I've ever had, but it's good barbecue.
It's legit, right? I'm a Kansas City Barbecue Society certified judge. I'll go on the record as saying that. And to Will's point, for mass-produced barbecue, it's legit, it's good, it's enjoyable.
Yep. And if, for some reason, you're there, and they have the smoked prime rib on the menu, which comes and goes, has come and gone between the, it's actually been an Artist Point at times, too. That's the best piece of meat on property when it's on the menu.
Ooh, note to self.
It was there about a year and a half ago, and I haven't seen it since, but that doesn't mean it's gone away completely. But if you ever do see a smoked prime rib, they take a prime rib and then leave it crazy rare and then smoke it at the end, and it's glorious. I've definitely had it at Whispering Canyon. I mean, that restaurant's so much fun. Yeah. We were there as part of the conference that I do in Orlando. We took our VIPs there as part of the thing. It was at the time when everybody was like, oh, they took everything away, but we got all the show we wanted. Everybody in the, we got to do the pony races around the restaurant, and
yeehaw,
somebody had to
run
over
cowboy
and deliver us. Somebody had to deliver ketchup to us, and you know, all of that goofy fun stuff. So it's still definitely fun. I think if you're going to go to Walt Disney World, I think you should try to do as many of the restaurants that you can't go to at home. And I think Whispering Canyon definitely fits the Whispering Canyon and Primetime Cafe, just that have kind of the show element added to dining. I think it makes it, you know, all that much better.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You definitely have to go there. We won't go spoilers, but you definitely have to ask for a fork and ask for ketchup if you're there, and then hang out for the pony ride. That is a must-do Disney dining experience, whether you stay at Copper Creek or not. That would be on my highly recommended restaurants on all of property.
Yep. And also, I think one thing if we did an episode on anything with the lodge, we would be remiss if we did not talk about the holidays at the lodge. And it is definitely one of the you-can't-miss resorts to see decorated for Christmas. It is the hardest to get in during Christmas for that reason, which is, I think, why DVC made the move to go where they did, just because of the demand. The Christmas tree is stunning. The decorations are great. It just, you feel like you kind of collapsed into Christmas when you show up in the lobby during the holiday season. It's absolutely gorgeous.
And that's what, like a 6-story tree in there or something insane like that, Terry?
It's very, yeah, both that tree and the tree at a Jumbo House are both massive trees because they have so much lobby to play with that they definitely take full advantage of it. It's definitely a good resort, walk around, see other things when you're there during busy times. You made a great point earlier in the show that if you're at Magic Kingdom and need to get away for an afternoon break, come and relax when it's, they'll have the fire going for you at Geyser. Go look at the lobby, see and smell Christmas in the lobby. And I think it's one of the better gift shops. The gift shop always has a decent amount of resort-specific things, and it has a decent amount of adult Disney attire as well.
Yeah, I've definitely got shakedown for a couple $100 at that gift shop. Now, I do wish they had a little bit better DVC merchandise there, but that's my wish all the way across the board. But of the custom ones, I think the Copper Creek shirt that they offer DVC members is one of my favorite designs.
Yeah, the Copper Creek branding is pretty great.
Yep, I agree.
Before we wrap up restaurants, we have to talk a little bit about with the Roaring Fork. That's kind of hidden out of the way. You've got to come into the lobby, go down the ramp to the left. I've ate there a couple of times. My thoughts were, it's just a decent quick service. I mean, there was nothing spectacular about it, but there wasn't anything to complain about either.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there was nothing really stand out for me there. I know that we were there probably 2 or 3 times during our trip, and nothing stands out. Whereas other quick service like Grand Floridian, there are some things on the menu that I could, and then Polynesian, of course, quick service also has some really great items.
But yeah, this is off the
good
hook.
Enough. Yeah, it's good enough at Roaring Fork, you know, for what it is. But yeah, nothing that I can really write home about on that one.
If I had the choice between Geyser Point or Roaring Fork, I go to Geyser Point. But Roaring Fork's open a little bit later. So you have a little bit extended hours there and probably open a little bit earlier. I think they just quit serving breakfast at Geyser Point, if I remember some of the news feeds recently.
Yeah, because they have it inside. I remember that Roaring Fork does have 1 or 2 really unique breakfast items. I'm not a breakfast eater. I remember they had a pancake or something that was kind of special. Anybody had breakfast there?
I have not. But, you know, the other thing that's notable about that is the mug refills. Now, from Copper Creek, you got to go all the way around the side to get there. But your choices are either to go over to Roaring Fork there or to go down to Geyser Point at the outdoor one. And from Boulder
Roaring
Ridge,
Fork is right on your way if you're going to the parks via the boats, if you're on your way to the Magic Kingdom on the boat.
Yeah, you can definitely go down that ramp, hit Roaring Fork on your way, and then head over to the boats there.
Yeah, I've not had the breakfast there, but I was pulled up the menu just as a reminder of what I saw, and went next time I go, I want to try. They have chicken and Mickey waffles, which I mean, with pecan butter. I mean, that sounds like something. That sounds like something I need to eat.
Oh, dude, I'm with you.
They have 10-hour pulled pork cheese grits. I don't know if the pork took 10 hours or if the cheese grits are 10 hours old. But
anything tower has to be good.
Yeah, and then they have a Bananas Foster French toast. I think, you know, that's up there with Captain Cook's, that there are some nice different kind of items on the breakfast menu. I think it gets pretty pedestrian throughout the rest of the day. Those are definitely if you're going to get up for breakfast, which they do serve to 11, so you don't even really have to get up for breakfast. If you're a bigger fan of brunch, then there you go.
Yeah, those Mickey waffles are on my, and chicken and Mickey waffles are on my list now.
Yeah.
I'm already drooling about those.
Yeah, and that comes with pecan butter.
Even better. Even better. That pretty well covers the restaurants on property. We've got four of them there. I think we've covered them fairly well. What about the buses on property?
I'm a big fan of Alamo's bus system, where you go to the airport, rent a car, and you just get where you need to go. I mean, you guys go for 2 weeks when you go. I go for a lot of shorter trips. Like I'm going for a day and a half coming up. So I'm going to definitely going for another business thing, and I'm going to go for, you know, 48 hours of fun and hit everything I can in that period of time. And so the buses tend to, you know, slow your trip down dramatically. You know, one of the bad things about being at one of the edges of the park, which the Magic Kingdom and I think the Animal Kingdom are kind of your two extremes. Epcot kind of tends to be a little, those resorts tend to kind of be a little more middle, that it takes a while to get anywhere from the buses there. Because frequently they'll stop. I've definitely been on the buses where the Wilderness Lodge bus has gone to Fort Wilderness and Wilderness and really late at night from Disney Springs. Sometimes you'll end up with the same bus going to all of the monorail resorts.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with the buses there. They're typical Disney buses. The research on the Disney buses is pretty much, if you're from the Midwest and you drive everywhere, you don't like the buses. If you're used to public transportation, you like the buses. My opinion, the buses are just average there. They're average Disney buses. Sometimes they end up going over to Fort Wilderness, just extends out the bus trip, which is less than desirable in my opinion. But, you know, all things said and done, if I'm headed to the parks early and the family's going to catch up, I don't mind taking the buses because I'm getting some extra park time in.
Yeah, I'm a fan of driving to the parks as well. I mean, unless I can kind of walk or take a boat there, I prefer not to. And I'm you know, originally from Philadelphia, so big on transportation normally. In Miami, not so much. But I kind of just like going directly to the resort and not having to stop, you know, or really wait, because I do feel like it does take a lot of time out of either the, you know, before the park or the after the park. So in all fairness, I can't really give an opinion on their system there. As far as, you know, how quick or efficient it is. I have ridden the buses before at other resorts, and I can tell you, you know, it's hit or miss. Sometimes the buses are right there, and then other times you're waiting way more than it says you're going to wait on the little TV screen. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, again,
yeah,
I kind of prefer the walking.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the buses there.
Like
hit or miss, pretty much standard. I don't think I'm going to penalize them for any other resort or bump them up either. So to me, they're just hit or miss.
Nah.
Have any of you guys tried the concierge services at Wilderness Lodge?
I have not. I would love to, but I have not.
I had that. That was actually the thing we sacrificed to give to join DVC. When we bought, I think we had a trip planned for, I guess, probably our 10-year anniversary, if I'm guessing on when we bought, that we had a concierge level annual pass discount at booked, and then we kind of took the money we had already paid into that to use for our down payment, and still ended up at Wilderness Lodge. I've concierged at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I guess kind of everyone now can concierge.
Yeah, that's a new feature that's specifically at Wilderness Lodge, right? With the reunion station that's outside. And Shelby and I are in a Copper Creek owners and prospectors group. And so we started asking in that group, has anybody used the concierge services in there? We couldn't find anybody that had.
Interesting. It's costly. It's, what is it, $50 per person per day, 3-day minimum? Or
is it a 3-day minimum?
Yeah, it's a 3-day minimum. And you have to buy it for everybody in the room. So like our last trip there was a 2-bedroom.
Yeah, you can't just a couple people.
And so there was the 5 of us plus my parents. So that was 7 people. Okay, so $350 a night extra for concierge service?
And you have to be at the resort a ton to take advantage of it. If you plan to leave at all, it seems like there's no point.
You know, maybe if you're doing a trip for two, you know, and you want to check it out and it's a three-day trip, perhaps add it on. I've been very happy with concierge level at Animal Kingdom. Love that experience. But yeah, for a party of five, for even 3 days, I wouldn't do it.
I'm just on the DVC website and looking at, like, there are four things they list under there. They list the lounge service, which is what you're paying. And then they have four other things that all sound like something I might do or I might do with my wife. They have a wine tasting that's not included with that, a phone photography, an animation workshop, and a cake decorating workshop that are all things you can do without, you know, without signing up.
Well, yeah, you have to sign up for those events individually, and they're probably $30 to $60 each per person. And the other thing that's important, if we're going to mention that stuff, we got to mention those are direct buyers only. If you're pure resale and you're past like 2011 or whenever they shut that down, you can't even buy those services. They're there. They're great little membership extras. I like them because we did buy some points at Copper Creek and we got them direct. And so we have our little blue card, but it's kind of a weird thing that they have these additional services. The other thing that goes on with concierge there is, and I've never heard anybody tell me the story on it, because they announced Reunion Resort and said, hey, it's going to be open for a member mixer from like 7 to 11. And then like 3-4 weeks later, and you didn't even have to pay for it. It was just an open, any DVC member staying on point, on property, on points, kind of like Top of the World at Bay Lake Tower, could come in. 2-3 weeks later, the PR announcement came out that they just shut it down. And I've never heard the story why.
It was the member mix and mingle.
And was it originally something planned for select nights, or was it a Dally thing?
Like, I think the original plan was just like a member night every night to just come, like a community hall, come on in and meet other members. And for some odd reason, it shut down. Maybe it was too costly to staff, or...
You have to wonder. Yeah, you have to wonder if maybe they weren't getting the type of volume in the concierge services there, if then they said, all right, maybe we don't need to do the free stuff from 7 to 11, and maybe we'll get a little, you know, a few more people interested in doing the other stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
They just basically, I mean, a quick Google search tells me that it's just been replaced with expanded concierge hours.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of sad, Chad, because originally, you know, years ago, you could go to the dance hall at Boardwalk, and there'd be a massive member gathering.
I remember that.
And, you know, I mean, there would be probably 500 to 800 members on a Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon, some snacks, some drinks. You were guaranteed to walk out of there with some sort of DVC swag. A lot of times it was hats, and there was like a game show that was like DVC Jeopardy. It was a lot of fun. It was a great chance for them to pitch, basically selling what's coming up. I don't know why they don't do that. It'll be interesting. DVC has had a leadership change again, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens kind of moving forward now that there's a new person at the helm. If a lot of these member things that we're getting came from the last guy, and so it'll be interesting to see if we see more of this or that just it all goes away. I do feel that members really enjoy the, you know, club level kind of benefits, if you will, that feels like, wow, I bought into something special.
I wish that all of the resorts, you know, or at least most of them, I get it that it can't be in every single resort, but could offer that club level floor. Because even at Animal Kingdom, I believe it's 10 rooms. So it's not a heck of a lot of rooms, but it's enough where if you really want it and you're an owner at that resort and you book it at your 11-month mark, you'll get it. And if each resort could kind of offer that, I think that's a huge selling point as part of DVC. That really should be out there.
Yeah, I agree, right? The other thing is, if we're going to talk about Wilderness Lodge, we would be a little remiss not to talk about the Boulder Ridge aspect of it, because you can still walk right over to Boulder Ridge and use all of the amenities there. And there's a concierge named Kirk there that is just off the charts incredible. I don't think you can talk about that whole resort without talking about Kirk. He's been there since the day it opened. And just one of the nicest, friendliest, happiest person, very helpful, that just does concierge services. So like if you need help rebooking a fast pass or restaurant reservations or something else there, you can pop down. Now, I know Copper Creek has their own, but, you know, in my mind, Kirk's so legendary that I just walk over to Boulder Ridge side and use him when I'm staying at Copper Creek. guys ever used or seen much out of? It looks like the little fishing shack by the pool that they converted into a spa now. I know they do like massages and nails and things like that there. Not exactly up mine and Terry's alley.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. I actually don't even know that I noticed it, which is kind of strange.
It's right outside the pool, the main pool on the Copper Creek side.
Uh-huh.
It's almost, to me, it looks like it's a little fishing shack.
Used to be quick service. They didn't need another burger shack out there. And so it's a little mini spa.
Interesting. I'll have to look for that next time.
And I think that goes to prove once again that there are so many things, you know, even someone who's been, you know, probably over 100 times and stayed and seen and done, there's still things you haven't seen. You hope the things that you love aren't the things that get taken away.
Let's move on to the pool review. You've got two pools on property here. You have the Copper Creek side with the slide, and that's got the lifeguards and the whole nine yards. And then you've got the quiet pool over on the Boulder Ridge side.
We really enjoy the DVC quiet pools. Sure, you can have a great themed pool, but I like to be able to go where and still kind of soak in a hot tub and go to, you know, in the deep end of a pool and just kind of lounge. And so that got taken away with the resort expansion. So.
Yeah, that pool is still, you know, you've got zero entry there now with the Boulder Ridge side. It is very well themed, you know, and they built the boulders up all the way around it. They actually took a crane, I think, out of the backlot tour and moved it in there, kind of repainted it up and had it themed into the Boulder Ridge deal. Got a spa out there on the Boulder Ridge side, and you've got two hot tubs over there on the Copper Creek side.
But it also means that the pool, because it's now a, oh, what's the word they use? You know, there's lifeguards at that pool all the time.
Only at the main
pool. So that means that, you know, there's not lifeguards at the, nope. the secondary not. Pool, no? Huh. Oh, there you go. See, I didn't know that. I thought there was going to
be. Yeah, see, at the main pool at 11, they blow the whistles, the lifeguards go home, they shut down the water at the slide, poof, they're out of there. And that's when you can head on over to the Boulder Ridge side and still come back in and use the hot tub, use the pools, continue on.
Oh, right? See, there you go. See, the thing I was complaining about doesn't even exist now.
So well, it technically closes at the same time, but they're not going to come and kick you out.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See, I was told otherwise when I went to use it. I love access to a hot tub after a long Disney day.
Our kids really enjoyed the little kids play area. Well, it's near the geyser. A couple of little water slides there, a big bucket dumper, some spray guns, and they just had a blast over in there. To me, that was one of the nicer features of DVC Resort. And I know several of the resorts have them. Coupled that with the great quiet pool and then the Copper Creek pool also has another feature that I really love, and that it's 5 foot deep. I can go out there and have to use tippy toes in the pool. Some of them are just 4 foot and that's it. So that extra foot of depth really makes it enjoyable to me. The slide, I think, is somewhat okay. It's not my favorite slide on property, but it's respectable. I love the fact that you don't have to go upstairs. It's all a graduated incline. Well, there's a feature there that I didn't try where you can unlock the door with your smartphone. Given the breakdown of Magic Yes. Bands, did you try it when you were there, Valerie?
I did not try it there, but I tried it when I was at Beach Club a couple weeks ago. You know what it is? It's one of those things that's kind of cool because there have been times where I, you know, not this day, but I've left my Magic Band in the room. And then luckily enough, you know, either my husband or my son, someone was in there to let me back in. But, you know, it is a possibility. You could walk out, leave your Magic Band in, and you know, at least I never leave my phone anywhere. I always have that, you know, glued to my hip. So, you know, it was cool. I don't know how many people will use it in lieu of the Magic Band, because the Magic Band is just so much more convenient when it's on. You're not gonna pull out your phone, go to the app, open the key, you know. But it was cool.
Yeah, when the Magic Bands are working as well, right? I'm like, I've got the worst luck on, I swear, of just my Magic Bands not working and dying and having to be reset.
Yeah, I've been on a reservation with you, Chad. And I think you've broke the matrix, my friend.
What they had told me, though, because I was having tons of issues with Magic Band after Magic Band, is that it stores all the information from every other trip. So even if you've deleted everything, if they, you know, it's still there. And so that's why they say, okay, well, remove the Magic Bands. Don't just suspend them from your account. They actually say to, what do they
delete
do?
Them,
they
purge them, something like that.
Qualify so. Them. They delete them, right? They but it's even a step further. It's like they put them to the garbage. Like that's that they're just I can't think of the word that they use when I was talking to the cast member. But yeah, they said don't just deactivate it. It's you go the step further where, you know, you literally remove it from the account, because when you have too many, it's too many bands with too much stored information. And I will say, after I did that and I removed quite a few from my system, you know, or linked to me, it was helpful for the last few times. I haven't run into any issues. So
we've covered pools. Next thing is, because we are DVC, we have to answer the question, why would you want to own here? So Shelby, I'll let you go ahead and get started because, well, you and I are both owners.
Well, I would like to own there because of the easy access to Magic Kingdom. I know that's not unique amongst DVC properties, with Poly and Grand Flow being on the monorail, but your quick boat ride, which we talked about earlier, from the Magic Kingdom. I think that we also covered earlier about just the outstanding theming of the Pacific Northwest, the great on-site restaurant, and especially with the really good cabins and three bedrooms at the top end of the point of the point requirements, but still really good choices for staying at Copper Creek. So I think to me it's the access to Magic Kingdom, and it's being right there with the great restaurants. And I also like that it's a smaller resort.
Yeah, absolutely. The vibe, the theme of the resort, it's probably my second favorite resort on property, even though it's my least favorite room. But the vibe, the theme of the resort, and having that for the 11-month window, I think Terry brought up a good point earlier. If you want to stay at Wilderness Lodge during Christmas, it's kind of difficult to 7 month in there, okay? Because that lobby is so off the hook incredible that it's decked out. That's another benefit that owners get. And I know when we bought there, we were looking at it for a December Christmas cabin stay at one point in time. That's yep. Kind of on our bucket list.
And
that
ended
up being my second favorite resort.
So. And I guess the other thing is just the fact that it's the new DVC property that's for sale right now. So it's got the full 50 years on the contract.
Yep. You've still got all of those years. We also wanted a little bit more direct points. Terry, any thoughts on why you should own there that we haven't covered, or Valerie?
I'm going to say that one of the key things that I really enjoyed about that resort is with Copper Creek, and really with Wilderness in general, it's as small or as big as you want it to be. Because when you're within Copper Creek, it really does, to your point, give a very, you know, small, quaint, nice feeling. And you really do have the lodge type feel to it. But walk around a little bit on the grounds and it's huge. And they, you know, you go into the campgrounds, there's so much to do for everybody. So within itself, as a resort, it's amazing. But yet still has the small feel when you're within Copper Creek itself. The rooms itself, as I had mentioned, I'm not as impressed with as most of the other resorts. But again, when you kind of factor in and weigh out the resort with the rooms, it still does very well.
Yeah, from my perspective, if I was going to buy at Wilderness Lodge at all, I would not buy a Copper Creek. I can't see a motivating reason. I definitely would not buy direct. I'm spoiled because I got my points 11 years ago, so I compare any DVC purchase with that rate that I paid then. As far as wanting the rooms and wanting, you know, preferred access from a home resort benefit, I would get a lot more use out of a Boulder Ridge side of the resort, as far as, you know, we normally one bedroom or studio, so not having the Grand Villas isn't a deterrent to us. And so, I would definitely, you know, take advantage of that at resale. And so that would just be, you know, my personal opinion. Everyone uses their vacation a different way.
Oh, we had the same thoughts because we have a family of five. That just puts us into a two-bedroom zone. We would have much rather preferred to own at Boulder Ridge. But the fact that those Boulder Ridge, it's such a small resort and there's not a lot of resale activity on the Boulder Ridge side. Because there's, you know, there's no huge three bedrooms, there's no cabins, there's no...
Because nobody wants to leave.
Yeah, and the
those
people
members
that are there are
joined very early on in DVC, and they don't necessarily want to leave. So if you can get that at resale, I recommend it.
That's a great point, Terry.
And then when I looked at it, there was like 23 years left, 22 years left on the contract, and it was over $100 a point. And by the time all the incentives kicked in, you know, it was 160 for Copper Creek, and I'm going more than twice as long. Okay. That was our pulling factor. Right?
But we always have to stay in a two-bedroom for a family of five.
And at the time when you bought those points, your direct options were there or the Polynesian, and the Polynesian because there are no one-bedrooms or two-bedrooms.
Yeah, see, that was the other point for me, Terry, was just the variety of room types. Now, I know, understand at the low end you have the limitation of four-person occupancy. But this, you know, you have the full spectrum. You have everything from a studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, and then a separate deal with a cabin. So I really like that variety. I know a few of the other resorts have the full gamut as far as room types. But to me, that was a draw.
I think we've all made it very clear that the resort is beautiful, spectacular lobby, great dining options, great access to the Magic Kingdom. It really just depends on what you need in a room and what you like. It's a beautiful resort.
Yeah, I would recommend everybody 7th month in here if you don't own there. The only thing I can think of as to why you wouldn't want to buy there is the 5th and 9th person aspect, and holy cow, them dues. They are the most expensive dues in all of Orlando. You have to go to the beach resorts, Vero, Hilton Head, or Alani to get higher dues than Copper Creek.
Which is concerning because historically, dues do nothing but go up. That could really be a problem.
Yeah, 10 years from now, if everything goes up 5% and you're already $2 more a point here, or $1.80 more a point, those are the warning signs for owning here. Valerie, what's your final thoughts on the resort? And let's wrap this up and kind of bring this home now.
Yeah, so final thoughts are just, I agree with you. It's the resort itself is fabulous. The rooms, I probably would have done a little differently if you know, they consulted with me, but they didn't. But all in all, I would absolutely consider buying there.
Very good. Shelby, final thoughts?
Final thoughts is it's time to plan the next trip. So I'm excited for June 2019 and staying in the 3-bedroom and seeing what we agreed is the best room type there and experience in the resort. And certainly excited to be an owner at Copper Creek.
Very good. So Terry, any other final comments tonight?
Yeah, beautiful resort. Know that there's just some downsides in the rooms. But as they say in real estate, location, 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 the location is fantastic. And so there's definitely a lot of upsides too.
And final thoughts from my lovely wife.
Just like what everybody said, the rooms aren't the best, but the resort is really nice. Location is fabulous. Pools and food are great. So overall, it's a nice place to own.
I'm happy that we own there. I was the one of the two of us that kind of said, wilderness, 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 go, 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 go. I ended up winning that one. So, you know, we'll talk later on the next round, right? We'll see what happens when Riviera launches and if there's an add-on in our future or not.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the add-on itis is real in our house, is all I'm saying.
Chad has stayed at every DVC resort. Now he wants to own at every DVC resort.
Life goals, baby. Life goals is all I'm saying. Well, I hope you found our review of Copper Creek Cabins and Villas informative and entertaining. Coming up next in episode 8 will be Tom Voss from the Welcome Home podcast. He'll be sharing his membership backstory along with a little bit of insider information on the history of the Welcome Home podcast. After that, Donna Bickert from DVC Community Hall Facebook group will be joining us for her DVC membership story. And then once again, we'll be reuniting Shelby, Terry, myself, Valerie, and Tom for an episode we just recorded called Franken Resort. This one's going to be a lot of fun. The five of us do a little armchair engineering as we figure out where would we piece together our Frankenstein-level DVC resort. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail at 218-DVC-CHAT, or you can drop us an email at mydvcpoints@gmail.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC. My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.